So now comes to an exciting time when we are going to be commissioning, praying for, inducting, inaugurating, ordaining, whatever word your tradition uses. I don't really know what word we use, but we'll say commissioning and praying for our new team. So without further ado, I would like to welcome to the front, obviously Tim and Amy are already part of our team. And then I would like Emmanuel and Anna Prince and Paul Stock and Matt Alden to also join us. And Paul. Yay, received that response. So at any time in the life of this church, different people sit on our leadership team, and many of you in the room have sat on the leadership team at different times. We're very much an every member in ministry church. Paul and I have the privilege of leading you in this season, but there's many of you also in the room who have led this whole church in different seasons, and that's cool. But we just recognise at different times people standing up and picking stuff up, and so, Paul.
Okay, so... when going through the discernment process for new leaders, and it is a process, we typically look for confirmation of three things. And we look for confirmation that someone is called to this type of church leadership. That's really important. But we also ask the question, do they have the character to lead people well, and are they moving in a more Christ-like direction in their lives? And then the other thing that we look for confirmation is from others in our church community, that their character and capabilities to lead in the context that we've asked them to lead, that they have those. At the same time, we also want to get a sense of how people will work together as a team. We very much value challenge, but we also want collaboration and we desire creativity. Okay, so we're looking for people that will work well together and be a healthy team together. So I'm delighted, really, that... Anna and Emmanuel and Matt and Paul are joining the team. And really, we believe that these four people, different as they are, wonderful people, have all these qualities. And so we are really thrilled and delighted that they're going to join and carry on the work of leading us together forward as a community in this season. So let's pray. And I'd invite you to stand up if you're able to. And sort of join in a little bit, maybe circle in a little bit more, get a bit closer. Yeah, come on. In Philippians 2:3-5, it says this: do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And I think they're wonderful verses for anyone who steps up and takes on the role of servant leadership in the church. And so I want to commend those verses to all of us, to each one of you, and to all of us as a team. And so we pray, we loving God, we are thankful that Paul, Matt, Anna and Emmanuel have made the decision to serve your church here at River Marlow by joining the leadership team. Yes. Yeah, amen. We pray in this that they will flourish and grow in their faithfulness to becoming more like Jesus. We pray for them to have the love, the wisdom and the imagination to lead in a Christ-pointing way. Holy Spirit, we ask you to inspire them afresh. Fill them now. Empower them to serve and guide them as they discern the way ahead. Father, as they seek your face, as we seek your face together as a team, as we seek your face together as a church, point them, point us to the way of humility and the way of unity in Christ. Amen.
Amen. So now we are going to pray. Paul and I are going to pray for each of the team, and then we're going to ask as a community that you pray. I just wanted to caveat this. We hear from God and sometimes we don't. So I've got some things I want to pray. They might be spot on what God's saying. They might be not. It's about weighing them. So I'm just saying that as we pray for each other, let's not be weird and let's be honest. Sometimes we're praying because we know somebody really well and we just know what they're like. And sometimes we've had a download from God and sometimes we don't know. So let's just be real and don't pray anything odd over anybody, please. and also, if you're going to touch somebody, just ask. I'm just teaching us a little bit about how we pray for each other. Just ask. You don't have to touch people. Again, prayer's not magic. But anyway, I'm going to pray. I start by praying for Paul. I've been praying for you a lot this week, all of you. And Paul, you're here, as you know, because we've said this to you, because of your... Yeah. Because of the voice that you carry, which is uniquely you. It's not Nigel, it's not Jean, it's you. You have such a wisdom in you. And I also saw, it's interesting what Paul was sharing earlier, I saw reconciliation, that you are somebody who can reconcile and bring people together. That's what you can do, and you already do it in your gentle way, holding together friendship groups over years and years. But I saw reconciliation sitting on you. So we pray blessing on you. We commission you. We welcome you. And we're grateful to have you. In Jesus' name. And Amy, such different gifting. And it's just wonderful to see you growing in the role of being part of this team. And you are very much our operations manager. You're not our administrator, you are operations. You see things, you do things, but there's more there as well. There's a huge pastoral gifting, as many in this room will already know. The way Amy just gently reaches out and checks in and understands things about people and prays for people and carries them in her heart and all of that that she does, and we pray more of that. We pray more of that, but also at the same time pray protection on your heart. And on the gentleness that you carry, that it won't break you, but it will just serve to bless others. So we love you, Amy. Matt, you're amazing. You've already been leading over the last year or two. People said, is Matt now on the leadership team? Because he's just stepped up, hasn't he? Hooray. He has just stepped up and is doing what he does, and which is why he is here this morning. And there's something on you around mission. There's something on you about being non-churchy and non-religious and just calling things out and seeing things and saying things as you say them, see them, which we love. And I just do see you being able to take us into places we haven't been before, take us into areas we haven't been before, either overseas or here, and showing us a new way of doing mission and new ways of being church together. So bringing in the new, we welcome that. Thank you, Matt. Tim, you're not just techie Tim. I know we always pray this over you, but you're not. And you carry a wisdom and a deep spirituality and a deep understanding of God, a deep understanding of who Father is, through your life, through your family, through your just faithful petitionary prayer over the years. There's more in you. It's not just about being our tech guy, which you are, but I think it may be a season of letting go of that a bit and taking on other stuff around prayer, around ministry. So I sort of see some transitioning in you. We love you, Tim. And Paul and I have always joked over the years, this church wouldn't run without Nelsons. So Chris, that's you too. We love you guys. Anna. He wants me to, anyway. Lovely friend, lovely woman of God, creator, incisive thinker, ability to see into situations and put your finger on what needs to change or what needs to be prayed or what needs to be done. And we love that about you. You're a pastor, you're a creator, but you're also somebody who can bring change. And we thank you for that. And we just pray blessing on you in this season, that as you you reach out hands of healing to others, that you would see healings, you would see changing, you would see people really following you, wanting to know about how you follow God so deeply. So we pray blessing on you, Anna. Emmanuel, we love you. And again, I should say we're not couples on this team because they're couples. They're here because they carry individual gifting. It just happens to be that they're couples. We love you, Emmanuel. We thank you for all that you carry. And in this season, it's kind of a home season, home games for you, mate. You play away a lot all around the world, but it's about the home team in this season. And about your passion and love for the home team that is growing and surprising you. But it will thrill you as well. And you've got so much to bring us as a church around discipleship, around growth, around just church personship. And I just pray God will release that to you in a timely way. And again, we thank you for your deep love of Christ. And I pray, and I know that all the team will be drawing all of us closer to Christ in this season. Amen.
Yeah, Emmanuel and Anna, like Anthea said at the beginning, we pray out of our knowledge and we pray out of prophetic knowledge, and this is kind of a bit of a mixture of both, I think. But I just wanted to declare over you that people have told you you're disqualified in the past. And at times you've even maybe believed that yourself. But God declares over you this morning afresh the truth that I know you know, but I just want to declare it over you afresh. God says, you're not disqualified, you are qualified in him, and it's enough of that rubbish. And this is a new season. In Jesus' name. Matt, when back in 1979... Before you were born? a prophet declared over me that I needed to come to this church because I needed to be built into the wall of this church and have rough edges that I had knocked off. And that's been a process continuing to this day. I don't know if you've got rough edges to be knocked off. You may have, that's for you and God. But I do know you've got some sharp edges that are there for a reason, to change the shape of the wall. So you need discernment to know which is which. But I just want to encourage you, as you feel there's something to change the shape of the wall, to bring that with confidence, because that's something God's put on you. And really simple, mate, it's time. It's time. It's time. Now is your time. It's time. And you have an amazing heritage, we all know that, you know that. But it's time, and God says, thank you for not giving up in the disillusionment and the disappointments and in the questionings. Thank you for staying faithful. Thank you for being the faithful servant that you are. And now it's time. It's time for something new. Step up in the anointing that you have. Mm.
Oh, very tempting, though, it is to go around and pray for each one of you. I felt God speak to me about you as a team. And I've got three scriptures which I will write down so that you don't have to remember everything. But Zechariah 4 is... not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I really feel that this is a time, I mean, what a talented bunch you are, what an amazing gifted bunch you are, but it's not by what you can do, it's by the Spirit of God that you will achieve what God wants you to achieve. Then in John 4, you have the story of the woman at the well, which you know I love, and again, it's the time is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth. And I feel there's a call on you as individuals and as a team to worship together. It's sometimes when you're a business orientated and you've got stuff to do, it's very easy to go into a meeting and start doing stuff. I really feel there's a call on you corporately and individually to worship. And finally, because I've just been reading it in Grumpy's, in 1 John 5, the very, very last words of the letter are basically, don't worship anybody but the Father. Don't get caught up in worshipping anything but the Father. So we call on you all, I pray a blessing on you to worship together, to corporately sense the Spirit of God working amongst you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're on a road, and it's time to pick something up on the road. And for each of you, it's time to pick something up new, because the Holy Spirit has anointed you for this task. And I was walking here, pick them up, pick them up. You have to choose to pick them up. The choice is yours to pick them up or not to pick them up. But when you pick them up, something gets released. Reconciliation gets released. And some of the guys we've been talking about, you're going to see in this church. You're going to see it. There is an apostolic element to your ministry. You're a builder. In the world, we call it MD. In church, we call it apostolic. It's the same thing. You're good with structures. You know how to build. This won't just impact here, it'll impact your business. There is no divide. It's all the same. As you pick that up, you'll pick them up in your business, in your fatherhood, and in the church. It's all blurred. He's a one God. He doesn't live in boxes. For you, the biggest thing you're going to get is peace. There's going to come upon you something about the peace of God that is quite remarkable. And whatever you face, whatever you see, there is a deep work of peace is going to be taking place in you. Peace is coming in a new way. And in you, it's love. Your heart is going to go to a new understanding of the love of humanity. Sorry about this, but your heart is going to break more. Your heart is going to break more. But strength is coming bigger than the breaking. Strength is coming bigger than the breaking.
Yeah, God gave me these verses for you all this morning, and then Paul read Philippians 2, 1 to 5, and God gave me 6 to 11. So that felt good when you said that. And it says this, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. And he was born a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God
the Father. Amen. We've heard this morning a bit about the world being in a mess and it's a dark place. But the good news is that in the darkest places, the light shines brightest. And the flip side of what we've been hearing about some of the darkness is that actually God is on the move. God is doing something significant in this nation and the nations. So this is an important time. And I think everything that's been said, I agree, is like this. You guys, this is not an accident of the timing. You guys have been chosen for this moment. There is something stirring in the nation and the nations that we need to take hold of. And this could be an amazing moment in the history of River Church at Marlow and in the community of Marlow. And what we need for that is, I see you as cruciform leaders. I see you as leaders who understand that their hearts and eyes need to be fixed first and foremost on Jesus. Theologian Chris Green puts it that leaders who see the vertical beam as the otherness of God, that ways and thoughts that are the way beyond ours, where we identify with Christ's death on the cross. And you think about in Romans 6, where it talks about we die with Christ and go through the pain with Christ on the cross so that we can then experience the resurrection and joy and freedom that that brings. And that's what we're going through as a church, be transformed into his likeness. And these leaders also see the horizontal beam as the otherness of our brothers and sisters, both inside and outside the church. And I think we've heard it already today again, which is confirmation, which is simple. We love God and we love our neighbours. The three words I had for you all as a team at this time were this: holiness. We need to be people of clean hands and pure heart. There'll need to be higher levels of discipline and repentance. And as leaders, we need to spend more time on our knees. Again, another thing that's been brought forth by Andy today, encouraging us to get onto our knees. The second word is prayerfulness. Not surprising. On all occasions and all requests, prayer is the fuel for the engine, and it should propel you out. So go into deeper parts of prayer. The unseen prayers are more important than the seen prayers. And then the third word for you, holiness, prayerfulness, is boldness. And again, man makes plans, but God directs the steps. We've sung that again this morning in one of the songs. Conviction to act on God's word and step into all he has for you and this church. Man makes plans, but God guides the steps. Allow God to guide your steps. And then the final thing I want to say is, so we pray a blessing over you, but the final thing I want to say is to us, the people who are not stood at the front, is that there is a responsibility on all of us to pray for these guys, to continue to hold them up and lift up in prayer. There is that we're in a time at the moment where leadership is costly, more costly than possibly ever before in a Christian world, because of what we've already heard today. And so these guys need our support, they need our prayers, they need our covering. I want us to commit to praying for them, whether that's daily, weekly, monthly, it doesn't matter, but commit to doing it and hold them up individually in your prayers. Encourage them with your prayers, encourage them with words from God. This is not just about what this team does, it's about what we do to support this team. So I'd encourage us to do that. So Lord, we pray a blessing on each of these people stood here, a blessing on their health, a blessing on their families, a blessing on the people around them, Lord Jesus. We pray protection over them in a time where, Lord Jesus, the opposition is greater than ever. We pray protection over them. And we ask, Lord Jesus, whatever stands in front of them, you will knock down in their way, Lord Jesus, to create paths and guide their steps in the ways that you're calling them to, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this nation and the nations. And we call it into being in Marlow. We call it into being in Marlow, River Church, Marlow. Lord Jesus, and we ask that you continue to build this team, these people, in all the ways you've promised, that they would have more hearts like you, their eyes fixed on you, and that they would be more holy, more prayerful, and more bold than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Yeah. Love you guys, and thank God for you. And as I was praying for you this morning, the word that came to me was grace. And I know that you've all experienced grace. But I felt a real encouragement from the Lord. Whatever you've experienced, grow in grace. Because God is for you. He's so much more for you than you can dare to believe. You know, the picture that comes to mind is Sarah in her old age crying in disbelief at the promises of God spoken over her. I think that God wants to cause each of you to weep with tears of joy at the things he's saying to you in this season. And if those things, if you're hearing from God and you're not hearing things that make you want to cry with joy, actually you're not hearing his voice. You're not hearing his voice. And so I felt that strong encouragement just to say, grow in grace. Know that your Father is so for you. So for you. It's time to risk things that you wouldn't otherwise have risked. It's time to step out and believe that God's going to meet you in ways that you've not experienced before, because it's a new season of grace. A new season of grace. Totally undeserved, unearned favor, because he loves you. And that's beautiful. Beautiful. And particularly for you guys, when Andy's talked about, you know, the covering that you've grown up under, which is amazing and beautiful and very wonderful. I saw it like one of those glass domes over plants, which protect it and give it an atmosphere to grow up in when they thrive. And I saw God taking a hammer and smashing the glass. And it's a violent grace that's coming on you too. It's a shocking grace that's coming on you too, because God loves to raise up the humble. And there's a humility on you, which is really beautiful. And God loves to raise up the humble. And I see you just walking in amazing favor, amazing grace, because God wants the things in your heart to be multiplied in the community. And I see the community being a beautiful community being formed around you. It's way past time. It's way past time. Honestly, way past time. And that's why God's in a rush. That's why he smashed that dome. He didn't just lift it off. He wanted to get rid of it really quick. So be prepared for shocking grace. Amen.
As everyone was talking, I had this flash of inspiration to read a poem. I don't think it's a Christian poem, but it's something that made me think of leadership and the courage that you all have to be leaders. As was shared earlier, with great power comes great responsibility, as we know. And there's this poem from Theodore Roosevelt, and it says, "The man in the arena." I will change it with a human in the arena, just to keep the inclusiveness alive. But we'll go with it. "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasm, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." So thank you for being in the arena for us.
Thank you. That's fantastic. I did say that I would give the new team members an opportunity if they want to say, very briefly, I said, anything. Has anybody got anything? Emmanuel normally does.
Yeah. I'll be brief. When I was asked, my mind was questioning whether this role would fit my life calling. But as I went to the Father and talked to him about it, I just felt how deeply I love our church. Just how deeply I love this church. And that is a number of individuals, but that is the sum of all of us together, who we are as a love-filled community. So my heart compelled me to say yes. And then as I was talking to God, I felt I had to steward what he had given me. Anthea, you mentioned it. As I have had the privilege to learn from some of the best disciple makers in the world and learn with them, my heart feels beats for disciple making, and I want to serve the church in taking us to the next level in this area. So I'm privileged. Thank you all.
Thank you.